Tes daf is Lamed Vav. So we begin with the bottom of Lamed Hamed Beis, the two dots. The Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. Arayos Vishnios Larayos. The Arayos, the Gemara is going to explain what this means, but literally, at first glance, it sounds like Arayos and Shnios Larayos are the second level of Arayos, which typically are the Dirabanan Arayos. Ein Lehen Lo Knas Lo Pitur. Such a woman would not be allowed to collect knas if they were anusa, and they wouldn't be able to collect the money if they were a mefuta. Ilunis, and the reason being is because it's kamalei b'dirabi minei. Since there's a misa, there's a chiv misa that takes place with a rayos, so they're going to be pater from tashlumim. Hamimaenes, hamimaenes, we've learned before in Yivamos a number of times, Rashi tells us on the bottom, hamimaenes bibaila, a girl who refuses to remain married to her husband. It's an example is Kigon Yisoma Kitana Shisiasa Ima Umiana Bibaila. It's an orphan who's a girl who's a Kitana. Her father passed away. If her father's alive, her father can marry her off, and that's binding. But if her father passes away, so her mother and brothers only have the ability to marry her on a Dirabanan level, but she could always opt out so long as she's still a Kitana. So such a woman, Hamimaenes, says the Gemara, Ein La Lo Knash Lo Pitoy, she too doesn't get any of these payments if she's either Anus or Mufuta. And that's because she's becheskas ena basula. Since she was once married before, we assume she's not a basula. And the only time a person collects money on the knas of pitoy and anusa is only when she's a basula. Again, a woman who's a mamenes, who was once married but opted out of the marriage, is not considered a basula. Then the Gemara says, an ilunus ein la lo knas lo pitoy, she too doesn't collect one. So Rashi here explains, the reason being is because ein la knas, this is four lines on the bottom, Lufisha ein kanas elulinara. That's one of the rules we've learned, according to the Rabbanan at least. You have to be a nara, the age of 11 and a half till 12. Vizu, this woman who's an islandess, shalotavi saros liolam, kol esim shana. She doesn't have any maturity, any signs of puberty till the age of 20. He becheskas katana, umusham ba'ilach bogeris. She remains the katana until 20. At the age of 20, she turns into bogeris. There's never that 6-month transition period of being a nara, so she's excluded from collecting the onus and mufate. Then the Gemara says, "Hayotes mishum shemra," a woman who is a situation where she was divorced because of motzi shemra, because she got married, and at this stage of Gemara, the Gemara assumes that she got married as a basula, but it turns out that the husband didn't find any basulim. So she has to, she's removed from, she's divorced. And Rashi foreshadows for us that the Gemara is going to ask, wait a second, a woman who is supposed to be a basula and end up finding that there's no basulim, she gets killed. She's baskila because we assume she was mizane. Assuming we have the proper evidence, she was mizane in the interim while she was engaged, while she was in arusa. She was engaged in arusa as a basula. And when they finally get married a year later, it turns out she's a Beula, there's no basulim, so she gets killed. So what's the talking about here? What's the situation of how could she get remarried in a situation and onus mefata, should she already be dead? So Gemara is going to address that. So these are the different instances the Gemara Brisa lays out of examples of women who do not collect knas or pitur. So Gemara is going to analyze each of these stages. Firstly, my arayos and my shnios. What do these things mean that we said that arayos and shnios do not collect knas? If you're going to say Ilema, Arayos Mamish, it really means Arayos, which Rashi tells us, all the Arayos that are listed in Parshas Achrimos, Eshizish, Achoso, Abito, Achosi, all these different cases. And Shnios refers to Midivrei Sofim, that which is Usher that the Chacham added on. And these are examples of women who cannot collect Knas in a case of Ones Mefata. So Gemara asks, Kaven de Midiraisa Chazilei. Doesn't make any sense. Since on a deraisa level, such a woman is really mutter to this man. It's only the derbanan that said you can't marry her. She's a secondary level of arayos. But since kevin demidiraisa chazile, since on a deraisa level, they're permitted to be with each other, amai ein lang knas, why is there no knas? There's no chiv misa to talk about here. So it can't be talking about arayos mamish and shnios midivrei sofrim. Ela Gemara says, you know what it means? Arayos Chayave Misos Bezdin, and Shnios Chayave Krisos. We have different categories of arayos. Some arayos get Misos Bezdin. It could be Chenek, it could be Srefa, it could be Skila. And there are other arayos that are Deraisa, but don't have a Misos Bezdin, simply have Kares. That's what's referring to. Arayos are Mises Bezdin, and Shnios are Chiv Krisos. And the reason why they're called Shnios, the reason why they're called secondary, is because the Chiv Kares is less severe than the Chiv Misa. Aval, the Gemara says, in contrast to Chayavi Lavin, Yeshlem Knas, but if they marry someone who is only alive to them, such as a Kohen Hedyot to a Grusha, for example, so that there would be a Knas. And that's according to Umani Shimon ben Atimanihi. That goes according to Shimon Hatimani, because Shimon Hatimani holds that as long as there's a chalos marriage, even though there's it's aser to remain married, as long as the marriage is chal, and if a Kohen Hedyot marries a Grusha, the marriage is chal, even though we force him to get divorced, that's enough to, so such a person will be able to collect knas. And Ikadami, others say, no, Arayos refers to Chayavi Mises Bezdin v'Chayavi Krisos. That's included in the word Arayos. Shnios, the secondary level of Arayos, are called, including Chayavi Lavin, and Chayavi Lavin would also be a situation where you would not collect Knas. And why is that? Because that goes according to Manihu, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, because Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh holds that the criteria for collecting knas has to be a woman who's right to remain married to. And a woman who's aser midin lav, such as a kohen hedyot to grusha, one's not allowed to remain married to her, so there they wouldn't collect knas either. So that's machlokas, how to define arayos and shinios. And then the Gemara says, what does it mean, hamame'enes ein lehem lo knas lo pitoy? Hokatan ba'alma isle. The implication from this line is that the only reason why is because she doesn't collect knas is because she was once married. She opted out of the marriage, but now we can't assume she's a basula anymore. If she's not a basula, she cannot collect the knas. But if she was never married, hokatana, regular katana, ba'alma in general, can collect a knas. Who says a katana could collect knas? Remember, the parak here is called Elu Naros. Elu Naros Yeshlam Knas. So only Naros are allowed to collect knas. The Gemara says that only goes according to Rabbi Meir. That six-month period of Nara is where you could collect knas. But younger than that, as a katana, Rabbi Meir says you cannot collect knas. So who authored this line that implies that a katana in general may collect knas? It must be Mani Rabbi Rabbanani. Damar katana Yeshlam Knas. They hold that a katana does have knas, and that's the Rabban authored this price. Mar says, wait a second. Ema Seifa, but look at the end of this price that we brought. Islandus ain land lo knas lopitoi. An islandus cannot collect. And the reason why an islandus cannot collect knas is because she is a katana forever. She goes from a katana until she becomes 20. At 20, she ultimately turns into a bogeris. There's never a time period of a nara. And according to Rabbanan, if she's a katana until 20, she should be able to collect knas. So it must be according to who wrote the Seifa, Islandus ein lehen lo knas of lo pito. It must be also the Rabbi Meir, damar katana ein lehen knas. So Vestira, the mamenes sounds like a katana, only mamenes doesn't get knas, but a regular katana can collect knas. But the fact that Islandus may not collect knas tells us that a katana may not collect knas. So that's the Vestira in the Gemara. And the Gemara says further, and this just continues to explain that a islandess goes straight from a katan, or katana rather, to a bogaris. There's never a time period of nara, and that's why, according to Rabbi Meir, she doesn't collect knas. So that's the steer. So Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanan, Seifa Rabbi Meir. It makes sense to say the beginning is Rabbanan, and the Seifa is Rabbi Meir. It doesn't make sense to have a Bryce presented as one author, but to really have two authors who are there. So maybe the Gemara says, V'chitim, maybe Kula Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rabbi Meir authored the whole Braisa. So he authored the whole Braisa. So why does the Hamamemenes not collect Knas, which implies that a Katana does collect Knas? U'mamenes Savrla Rabbi Yehuda. He holds, like, with respect to Mamenes, like Rabbi Yehuda. What does it mean, like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mamenes could even normally we assume that a Katana could be me, and she could opt out of a marriage so long as she's a katana only. Once she's a gedola, she can no longer opt out, or she would require gerushin. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda says if this marriage existed, and there's never be, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imlo baal, if there's never be between this couple, la'acha shegala mimam enes. she is allowed to opt out even when she's a gadol. As long as there's no bia yet, she can opt out even over the age of 12. So Rav Meir says, you know what it refers to when it says mamenes doesn't get knas? That's talking about a mamenes of a gadola as a gadola. And there's no implications about a katana at all. We're talking about a mamenes of a gadola. So Rav Meir is fine. Rav Meir holds in general a katana may not collect knas, and islandess is a katana, and therefore she cannot collect knas. When we say mamenes can't collect knas either, that's referring to mamenes as a gadola, and there are no implications about anything about a katana, and therefore Rav Meir is consistent. So if you want to suggest that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that a gedola could still be mamenes, does Rabbi Meir really align with Rabbi Yehuda? V'hatana, doesn't the Braisa tell us the following machlokas? Ad masa ebas mamenes, up until what point, when's the last point a daughter can refuse marriage and not have to do gerushin? It's enough to do miyun. Ad shetavi shtei saros, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds a cut-off line, the cut-off age is, or the time is, two shtei saros. So we see, according to Rabbi Meir, it's not as a gedola. The second she hits the age of 12, the second she hits puberty, that's when she can no longer do mamenes. So a gedola can, according to Rabbi Meir, a gedola may not perform at miyun. If Rabbi Huda, Gemara goes on to explain, Rabbi Huda is the opinion omer ad she yirbash shachor al halavan, until the shachor al halavan is it's a way of describing that at a certain level of maturity. So we see from here that Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir do not align with each other. Rabbi Meir does not hold that a gedola may do mamenes. So there's still a stira who authored the braisa. Okay, fine. So Ella, let's say that Rabbi Huda really authored the entire braisa. So Rabbi Huda authored the braisa, so it makes sense mamenes cannot get knas, but a regular katana may collect knas. Rabbi Huda authored it, rather, that if mamenes is referring to a gedola, Rabbi Meir is like a gedola does not, a gedola can be mamenes. And he happens to hold, like Rabbi Meir also, that a katana doesn't collect knas either. That's why an islandess doesn't collect knas. So Ella Rabbi Huda, the Gemara says, Uba katana savar lo Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir that a katana may not collect knas. So Gemara says, really? Is that true? Mi savar lo? Does Rabbi Huda really hold like Rabbi Meir that a katana doesn't collect knas? V'ha amar Rabbi Huda, doesn't Rabbi Huda, not Rabbi Huda, but Rabbi Huda, doesn't Rabbi Huda say, amar Rav, zu divrei Rabbi Meir? Doesn't he comment, we learned this a few days ago, that when the Mishnah said, Elu Naro, said only a Naro collect Knas, but a Katana may not collect Knas, that's only according to Rabbi Meir, as opposed to the Chachamim. But now, if it's true that Rabbi Huda agrees to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda should have said, Zu, this Mishnah is divrei Rabbi Meir, vi Rabbi Huda mi bailei. It should have said that. And the fact that it didn't say that tells us Rabbi Huda does not agree with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir stood alone by himself, no one else with him. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Hi Tana, this Tana was a new person. It wasn't Rabbi Meir, it wasn't Rabbi Huda, it's somebody else. It's another Tana who savrala k'Rabbi Meir bechada, who polygale bechada. He holds like Rabbi Meir that a Tana may not collect knas. That's why an islandess cannot collect knas. But he argues with Rabbi Meir. He holds that a mamenes can be even when she's a gadola. And the case of mamenes not collecting knas is talking about a gadola, and there are no implications about a katana. So that's this third party who authored this braisa and kind of picked and choose who to paskin like. Then the Gemara says, Rafram Amar. Rafram explains, my mamenes. What does mean mamenes? It doesn't mean an actual mamenes, an actual girl who did perform miyun. Rather, it means haru'uya limain. It refers to a girl who is able to, in theory, perform miyun if she were to be married. And what age is that? That's the age of a katana. It's just another way of saying katana. So therefore, it's consistent. Mamenes, which now is the code word for katana, a katana may not collect knas. That's according to Rabbi Meir. And islandess, later on in the braisa, that's another example of a katana which doesn't collect knas. So everything's very consistent. Gemara says, wait a second, if mamenes is simply a code word for katana, let's say katana, just be clear and say, a katana doesn't collect knas. The fact that it doesn't say katana, but instead uses mamenes, is a kasha on Rafram's approach. Therefore, I imagine we're most comfortable with the previous explanation that there's this third tana who follows like Rabbi Meir with respect to one halacha, but argues with Rabbi Meir with respect to another halacha.
Haven't we had in the past occasionally a braisa that seems to be self-contradicting, and they just say, so I guess it must be, you know, a bad braisa, throw it out the window. And in this instance, why don't we always say, well, there's an unknown Tana who has these opinions?
Yes, so sometimes we do. And sometimes we say, in Echanami, we say that, yeah, I'm not sure when we say what, but you're right. Sometimes we say, yes, the Seifa is a Rabbanan, and we say, like, the Reish is Rabbanan, Seifa is Rabbanan, and the Mitziyasa is sometimes very Meir. And sometimes we say, no, there's this third Tana who picks and chooses. I'm not sure, where, you know, when we apply which one, but I agree. We do say that sometimes. Now the Gemara wants to understand the line of an Eilonus. The Gemara quotes from the Braisa, Eilonus, Ein La, Lo Knas, Lo Pitoy, a Eilonus who is the same status as a Katana. She never goes through the period of being a Naira. She does not get Knas. Urminhi, the Gemara asks the question, Hachareshes, Vashote, Vahailonus, Yeshlem Knas. These women do have Knas, and also Yeshlem, Tainis Basulim. They also have Tainis Basulim, that if they were to be married and the husband couldn't find Basulim, it's a valid taina, then she doesn't collect the ksuba. But what comes out from this price is that an islandess does collect knas. It goes against the price that we said an islandess does not collect knas. Mara says, what do you mean? It's a very simple answer. Vaha my rumi, what kind of shaila is this? Very simple answer. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbanan. The opinion that says islandess does not collect knas, because islandess is no different than a katana, that's like Rabbi Meir, that a katana doesn't collect knas. And the price that says islandess yeshlam knas, that's the Rabbanan who hold that Katana does have Knas. What type of question is this? Gemara says, V'dekarila my karila. That's a phrase that the Gemara uses, that when the Gemara asks such an easy question, why would you waste your time with such an easy question? Dekarila, the one who called out this question, my karila, what was he asking? It was such a simple answer. Gemara says, and the Gemara always says this when it asks the question, Mishum Islay Lemirma Achrisa Elayo. They didn't really have intention of bringing the Braisa for this part of the Braisa. There's another part of the Braisa that he wanted to ask a question from, and that's from the following. Which part of the Braisa did they want to ask from? Where it says, Hachareshes vashota vabogeres umukas eitz ein lehem tanis besulim. Now these individuals do not have tanis besulim, vesuma of islandess yeshlem tanis besulim, and sumchas amar mishim Rabbi Meir suma ein lehem tanis besulim. So there's this another Braisa that has a debate about a suma, whether Summa has a Tainis Basulim or not. We're not concerned with that right now. But we are concerned with the list of Acheresh and Shota and Islandess have a Tainis Basulim here. Wait, that's the Shiloh? What's the Shiloh we wanted to ask from here? Oh, yeah, exactly. That the Braisa above that we initially brought says that a Chareshes, Shota, Vailanus, Yeshem, Tainis Basulim. That if they get married and the husband doesn't find Basulim, he's allowed to say, there's no Basulim here, this is a Mekachtaus. But the second Braisa that we just brought said that a Chareshes, Shota, and an Islandess, and forget Islandess rather, Chareshes, Vashota, Eglem, Tainis Basulim. They do not have Tainis Basulim. So there's a steer of whether or not a Chareshes, and Shota have a Tainis Basulim. That was the real question that the base med, they wanted to ask in the base medrash. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes explains as follows. Lo kasha, this Brais is not a stira. They're two different authors. Ha Rabbi Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Yeshua. Which Rabbi Gamliel, which Rabbi Yeshua? This goes back to the first prakim of the Masechta. Rabbi Gamliel explains that if you look in the Rashi, four narrow lines up, Ha Rabbi Gamliel, he explains Amar Rabbi Perakam, the first parak, Daf Yud Beis, he omeres mishe satani nenansi nemenas. So what happens is the husband says, we got married and there are no basulim. So she says, you're right. That's because after we got engaged, I was nenas. And she's believed. So hachanami, here too also, ein lem tainis basulim. The husband has no tainis basulim. Lafsi the ksubasa to cause her a loss of money. The amrinan, yihava bikachas liton, hava taina. So if she was had she been a bikachas, now she's talking about a chereshes and shota, but had she been a bikachas, she would have claimed, havetaina mishir satani nanasti vehemne. She could have claimed that she was a nanas, and therefore she would have been believed. So even though she doesn't make the claim here, the Gemara is going to address that, we could claim on her behalf, since she's not a bikachas, to claim on her own behalf. So therefore she's believed, and there is no tainis basulim, because she could always explain it was that she was nanas. And who's the opinion that holds that there is Tainis Basulim, that we don't trust her, and if he says there's no Basulim, we don't trust her to say that she was Nenas? Ha Rabbi Yeshua, the Rashi explains, Amar lo mipia anuchayim, we do not trust her word. Hocha yesh la Tainis Basulim, here there is Tainis Basulim. Di nami havetaina, come on, even if she did, even if she was wise enough to make such a claim that she was Nenas, lo mihamnin lo, we don't trust her, and the husband's the one who we believe. So that's the machlokas in the two brises. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. So Gemara says, wait a second here. Gamliel says we trust her when she actually says that she was nenas. But hecha de lo kataina I mishmaslai, but when she doesn't make a taina, do we believe her? She didn't say anything. We're not going to just make up tainas. The Gemara says in yes. Kaven d'amar Rebbe Gamliel mehemne, since Rebbe Gamliel in general says that we do trust her if she were to say something. Kigonzu, in this example, piseach picha li'lemhu, we open the mouth of he or she, in this case, who is mute. She's not able to speak, so we're going to speak on her behalf. Normally, we won't speak on someone else's behalf. We won't be towing for them. But here, the chereshes and shota don't have the ability, don't have the seichel to make such claims, so we claim on her behalf, and we could rely on Rebbe Gamliel that we trust her. So that's how the Gemara explains this steer. Then the Gemara quotes another line from the Brisa that we started off with, that habogeres ein la tainis besulim. A bogeres, a girl who is matured over the age of 12, no longer, this is the Brisa, not the earlier Brisa, the Brisa we just brought. The Brisa that we just brought says that everyone's in agreement that a bogeres, a girl over the age of 12, does not have a tainis besulim. So if the husband says, I thought we got married as your besula, I didn't see any dam besulim, this whole marriage is broken, we don't trust him. Why? First, the Gemara asks, doesn't Rav hold in general, bogeres nosin laila harishon, that we give the bogeres the first night? Meaning, Rashi explains that midiraisa, from a halachic standpoint, nowadays it's different, but dam besulim is not going to make a woman nida. She's not dam besulim the first night. And any dam she sees, we assume is dam besulim and she's mutter. Anything after that night, if there's any dam, we assume it's a dam nida. So Rav says that first night, it's not only Bi Rishona, it's even if they're Kama Bi'ilos, the first Laila Rishon, we trust her. We say that all those Bi'ilos, all the Dam that comes from the Bi'ilos, comes from Dam Basulim, and it's not going to be Tame. So we see from here, though, a Bogeris does have Dam Basulim. And before we said a Bogeris does not have the Taina of Dam Basulim. So Gemara says, E de Katain Tainis Damim Hachanami. If they were going to be make a Tainis of Damim, and he says, I didn't find any dam. It's a good taina, you're right. Hocha maskin, what do we mean here? We don't mean, even though the Brisa used the phrase of tainis besulim, that there is no tainis besulim, when in fact it really is tainis besulim. What the Brisa really meant was, hocha maskin de katarin tainis pesach pasuach, where he said that, I don't know if there's dam besulim. I don't remember. But I do know pesach pasuach. So that case, we say there is no taina of pesach pasuach. And the reason being, Rashi explains because Misha Bagra, this is the first Rashi in the page, but if you go, we don't have to read the whole Rashi, but 1, 2, 3, 4 narrow lines down in Rashi, the last word is Aval. Aval Misha Bagra, Ein Rachmat Tsar, Kibitchila, Vedomulak Ilu Pesach Pasuach. As a girl ages, the Makom of the Oso Makom is no longer Tsar, and it feels like a Pesach Pasuach, but it's no indication that it was actually a Pesach Pasuach. It's no indication that there was previously a bia that was done. She could still be a Basula. So again, when it comes to Bogeris, we assume that there is Basulim, and there is a Taina if he doesn't find Basulim. If he doesn't remember, or he can't find, there's a Suffolk, what happened to the sheets, so then he wants to claim Taina's Pesach Pasuach, that we don't trust him anymore, because again, as a girl ages, the body becomes more open. Then the Gemara says, "Sumchis Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Suma Ein La Tainis Basulim." The Gemara quoted from the Brisa is actually Machlokas, whether or not a Suma has Tainis Basulim or not. Tanakama thought that a Suma does have Tainis Basulim, that the husband can claim there's no Basulim, and Sumcha says that no, a man cannot claim Tainis Basulim if his wife is a Suma. So what's the Machlokas here? My Taima de Sumcha. What was the reasoning of Sumchis? So Amar Rabbi Zeira Mipinei. Because she perhaps fell on the ground, and the falling on the ground may have caused the basulim to rupture. So therefore, and since the suma doesn't can see, so she may have tripped. So we assume that the basulim are no longer there, and there's no such taina anymore. Or so, wait a second. All girls, women, children play, and they fall and get bumped, and it's very possible that anyone could have had their basulim ruptured. So Gemara says no, because kula roos amaras liman. Any other girl who may have fallen, tripped, and saw dam, they would have showed their mother. They wouldn't know what's going on, or maybe they would, but still would have showed their mother. They tell their mother everything. But zu ain't a rav, ain't a mar la'ima. But the suma obviously can't see, so it may have been ruptured, but she didn't know, and she couldn't tell her mother. So So therefore, we have to assume that something may have ruptured and she never knew about it. Now the Gemara goes back to the initial brayso we started off on the end of Lamed Hey Amud Beis with. One of the women we said, we had a whole list of women who do not collect knas. We had Islandess, we had Mamenes, we had Katana. So one of the things we listed was Hayotzes Mishum Shemra Ein La Lo Knas La Pitui. So at first glance we said this is a woman who got married, and then the first night the husband realized there's no basulim, and we were Motzi Shemra, we ended up saying that she must have been with another man. So the din is, the Gemara says, Hayotzes Mishum Shemra, Baskili, what are you talking about Knas there? She has to get stoned for being Mizana while being engaged. So Gemara Samar of Sheshis, Hachi Kamar. It's not talking about the din of Moti Shemra as we know it in Halacha. It's referring to a situation of Mishi Yotz Aleh Shemra B'Yaldusa. Ein La Lo Knas Lo Pito. It's talking about a girl who there is a bad rumors about her when she was younger. There's no official formal process of the Moti Shemra as we know it. It just means that there were some bad rumors about her when she was younger. Such a woman or such a girl, we have to assume there is no Basulim and therefore there's no Knas either. So Amar Papa, Papa says we could conclude Shmamina, we could conclude from this halacha that since there's a Moti Shemra, we could lose, a person loses out on the Knas because there's simply because there's rumors. We learn from here that Hai Shtara Reya Lo Magmina Be. If there's a Shtar that has a Reya, has a Reya, a certain weakness, there is a rumor that it may have been forged. Simply the rumor alone is enough to say the Shtar is disqualified and may not be used to collect. No different than this girl that there's a rumor about her, she's not allowed to collect the Knas. So Gemara wants to know, hey Chidami, what's the scenario here of there being these rumors about the shtar, the rumors about the woman? Ilema dinafek kala le the shtar dezaifahu. If it's talking about where there's simply rumors that this shtar was forged, the kavasa in a similar case, hacha dinafek ala kala dezanai. Here too, the very simple fact that there are rumors about her, that's enough to disqualify or lose out a knas. If there's rumors about her being Mizana, that's not enough to disqualify her. We're not concerned with rumors. People talk all the time. That's not enough. So a simple rumor is not enough to disqualify her, and it's not enough to disqualify a document. Ella, so what's the case? It has to be a situation where two men came forward and said, she tried coercing us to be Mizana with her. That's the situation. So, but there wasn't actual znus. It was just simply that if, you know, she tried convincing two of us, she may have convinced and was successful in convincing somebody else. So it's where two people stepped up and said there is some something strange going on here. So here too also, hacho, when it comes to the case of the shtar, da'asu betrev, amru l'didu, where two people said, and they two people claimed that that person said to them, Amr Lahu Zaifuli. They said to us, come forge for me. We refused to forge for them, but we were still, he approached us because we were, you know, we're good scribes. This guy approached us to try to forge it. Now, we don't know if he actually forged the signature on the document, but he certainly was interested in having a forged document. So that makes us wonder. So just like the case of the woman, the girl, we don't know if she's Mizana, but the fact that she approached the two of us tells us that there's something fishy going on here. So too, this man who came along and tried to getting us to forge a signature, it also tells us something strange is going on. It's like, wait a second. The Bishma has some shchichi prutzim. I understand by the case of the girl, so she wasn't successful with the two of us, but she could have been successful with other men. So that's tons of prutzim. There's no shortage of prutzim, unfortunately. So it's very likely she was Mizana, and therefore we have to assume she's not a basula and doesn't get knas. Elahacha, imhusa kol yisrael miyuchsaku. So, but when it comes to forging signatures, we're going to assume he's going to find some Edei Sheker that's willing to do this. We're not going to assume that that most of Klal Yisrael is going to be a Muchsak B'Sheker, which is sad, the fact that we assume that there are many Prutzim in Klal Yisrael. But when it comes to people who are forging signatures, people are Yashar, and he's not going to he was unsuccessful with us, we're going to assume he'll be just as unsuccessful with every other Jew as he goes through. So how are we going to assume? The very fact that he tried and attempted is going to make this shtar into a forged signature. The Gemara says, Hachanami, Kevan de Kamahader Azufa, Ema Zufa Zayef Kasif. Since he was so adamant and aggressive about finding someone to forge it, he himself, Rashi explains, Amar Ziufa Zaif, right before the Mishnah, Hu atmo lamud l'chavin k'sav hadoma l'k'sav yadei ha'edim shechasim bo. He was so interested in forges, he went ahead and trained himself how to get the signatures down completely. And therefore, we don't assume that the rest of Klai Yisrael is going to be huchsaku esh edu sheker chas v'sham, but he himself went so far to train himself to forge the document. Okay. Fine. Now the new mission. The mission tells us that Elu She'en Lem Knas. Now we're going to list some other situations of women who do not collect Knas. And who are they? Haba al Hagiores, al Shvuya, val Shivcha, Shiniftuv, Shinisgayru, Shinisachru, Yiseris al Beno Shloshanim V'Yomecha. So we had a Mishnah earlier, a few pages ago, that if a woman who's a Gioris, a woman who's held captive, and a woman who's a Shivcha, who either converted, who either was redeemed, or who either was freed as a slave into a Jew, if it was under the age of three, then the Basulim grow back again, and therefore they have the din of a Basula. But in these situations where she either converted, was freed, or redeemed above the age of three, so assume she was Nenas in captivity, she was Nenas as a Ger, as a Goya, where she was Nenas as a Shivcha, and they will not grow back since she was redeemed after above the age of three. Basulim do not regrow after the age of three. And therefore, since they don't have the din of a basula, they're not going to be able to collect knas in the case of Ones and Mefata. The Mishnah now quotes from the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shvuya shinifteis harehi b'kedushasa. He argues with respect to the Shvuya. A Shvuya still holds on to her Kedusha. She still holds on to her Basulim, and we'll see why that is in the Gemara. Even though she's a Gedola, we don't assume that she was actually Nenas while in captivity. And we'll see why that is in the Gemara. But he does agree with regards to a Stam Gioris and a Shivcha that they probably were Nenas, or maybe even Beratzon, they lost their Basulim. Then the Mishnah says, Haba al Bito, al Bas Bito, al Bas Bino, a daughter, a granddaughter, al Bas Ishto, a stepdaughter, al Bas Bina, or a step-granddaughter, abaspita, or another type of step-granddaughter. All those situations, ain lehem knas, there is no knas, there's no penalty in those situations if a man would to do any of these things with a daughter or granddaughter. B'pnei mischai benafsho, because these are things listed in the Torah as chiyav misa, shemisasan bidei bezdin, v'chol shem mischai benafsho, any situation where there's a chiyav misa, ain mishai mamon, they don't pay mamon, shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, vim lo yeh asan anu shianish. That's again the situation we keep going back to. This is the source of kamei b'dirabim minei, that if two men are fighting and the pregnant wife comes along, and the man hits the pregnant wife and causes her to have a miscarriage, if the mother is still alive, he has to pay money for the dmei vlados. If there's no there's no damage done to the mother, no death to the mother. The implication is, we keep going back to, if the mother did die, then since he gets killed for being rotzeach, for murdering the mother, he's going to be potter from paying the dmei vlados. This is the cloud we keep saying, kamle b'dirabi minei. So in all the situations of the daughter or granddaughter, where there's a chiyav misa b'dei adam, it's going to exempt him from paying any of the knas. So now the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dusa, Amru Davar Echad. That's pretty interesting, by the way. I think many times we have these, the Gemara oftentimes has the following individuals all say the same thing. I seem to recall that Rabbi Dusa is on many of these lists. I'm not sure why that is. I'm not sure if I'm making that up. I'm pretty sure that he does appear in many of these lists. So again, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who holds that a Shvuya, a woman who's held captivity, still keeps her Kedushasa. And if she keeps her Kedushasa, we assume she's still a Basula. And if she were to be later on Onis Mefata, she would be able to collect Knas. Rabbi Yehuda is in agreement with Rabbi Dusa. Rabbi Dusa says the same exact thing. So where do we find that they say the same thing? Rabbi Yehuda, Hadamram. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, which we just explained, that again, a Shvuya keeps her Kedushasa. And Rabbi Dusa, from the following, Rabbi Dusa, Desani, the Brisa teaches us, a Shvuya Ochelas Bitchumra Divrei Rabbi Dusa, that a woman, a girl who was held in captivity, even though she's an Ashes Kohen, Ashes Kohen is allowed to eat Chuma. When she's Nenas, when she's raped, then she is no longer allowed to stay married, and she can't eat Chuma anymore. Rabbi Dusa says, no, not true. Even though she was held captivity, we do not assume that she was nenas, and she can continue to eat truma. So we see that they're in agreement that the shvuya is a dying biktusha. So she still keeps her kedusha, and therefore can continue to eat truma from her husband, and also will collect knas if need be, because she's still considered a besula. What's the reasoning of this? So Rabbi Dusa goes on to explain this price. I'm Rabbi Dusa. What did this Aravi, this Arab, do to her that caused her to be passed to the car, and she didn't do anything? Because she was only doing that. There was no actual bia. They were just being sochek. They were doing other nyanim. That's not something that's going to disqualify her. Yes, certainly it's preached. Certainly it's inappropriate. But that's not going to be, that's not a maisa bia to disqualify her from staying married to her kohen. So we assume that what goes on as a shvuya is nothing that's serious. Again, it's serious, but nothing, not enough to disqualify her from Chuma, and not enough to disqualify her from being a basula. So the Gemara says, is this really true? I'm a rabbi. Rabbi challenges Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, you think Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dusa are saying the same thing. But I'm going to challenge you. I'm a rabbi. Dilma lohi. Maybe they're not really saying the same thing. Maybe ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hacha. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah says that she still is in the Kedushasa. Ela shelo yehe chote niskar. We don't want the sinner to be rewarded. We don't want the sin to be rewarded. How is the sinner be rewarded here? Because the sinner, in the case of Shvuya, right, the one who held her captivity, will be rewarded because now she loses her status of being a besula. And if she were to be, go ahead and, let's say, be raped by him, he would not have to pay any money to her. So he's basically being rewarded. But really, it sounds like Mikra Din, really, she is not a basula. We only kept the Kedusha status of her to cause the Ma'anes to have to pay a Knaster as a penalty for him. Aval Hassan, but over there, the case of the eating the Chuma, maybe a Krabbanan Tzvile, maybe Rabbi Huda holds like Rabbanan that a Shvuya may not eat Chuma. Really, in fact, the Shvuya is considered Nansa and she can eat Chuma. Our mission above here, that there is still Knas, is simply a penalty we want to give to the violator as to make sure Chote ain't no Niska. We don't want to give a reward to the Chote. So we see there could be a Chilek. Inami, I could be Michalik in the other way, says Rabba. Inami, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Dusa, hasam el b'chuma at Rabbanon. Maybe when Rabbi Dusa permits her to eat Chuma after being held captivity, maybe only permits her to eat Chuma mid Rabbanon. That's not a big deal. Aval, but maybe not Chuma deraisa, and also aval knas deraisa kerban tzirilei. But to cause someone to pay knas a deraisa penalty, maybe that wouldn't be the case. Maybe on a deraisa level, we really view her not as a basula, and there's no knas. We can't cause someone to pay a knas if, in fact, she's really not a basula. It's only the Chuma midirban that we allow her to continue to eat. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rabba now. Rabba, wait a second. The time of the Yehuda, hacha, shlohi chote niskarhu. You tell me, Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning of that she remains in the status of being miktushasa, that's driven by the concept of shlohi chote niskar? Doesn't make any sense. Vatanya, the Brisa tells us, that Rabbi Yehuda omer, shivuya, shenishbeis, a woman who's held captive, Harehi Biktushasa, she maintains the status of Biktushasa, meaning we don't assume she was Nenas. Afilu Bas Esashanim Ksuvasa Masayim. Even if she was 10 years old, or was it held captive for 10 years?
Even if she's 10 years old.
Even if she's 10 years old, there's still a Ksuba of 200. So we see from here, and what Chote Nisker is there, the fact that her Ksuba is 200 when she gets remarried, has nothing to do with the person who initially was chote, the initial, the captor, nothing to do with what's going to be later on. So we see that Rabbi Huda holds up, really, it's not a gzeir, it's not an issue of chote niskar. He really thinks that b'etzem, she's biktu shasa. And when she gets married to somebody, she's still considered a full-fledged basula and collects a full $200. So it's clearly not because of ain't chote niskar. We see other halachas that still, again, assume she's a basula, even though it has no impact on the chote. And Vahasan, the Gemara says, Vahasan Mai Shlohi Chote Niskar. And by the case of the, when she eventually gets married, she gets 200 Masayim, there's no impact on the Chote Niskar. So clearly, that's not the basis of his opinion. Clearly, Rabbi Huda holds V'etzem that she is B'ktushasa. And it's very possible that Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Dosa actually do say the same thing. So again, the Gemara continues, and v'halsam again, my shloi hechodin iskar ika. What hechodin einon? What's by the case of Masayim, there's no cloud, there's no content of shloi hechodin iskar there. Halsam nami dilma mimne velo nisvele. Now perhaps there, they'll refuse and he won't marry her. So Rashi explains dilma mimne velo nisvele I paschas ksubasa. If we lessen her ksuba, mashu lebeches is bula, making her, categorizing her as a bula, umrach kela afilu Yisrael, no one's going to want to marry her as being one who is nanas. So really, Mikra didn't make Rabbi Huda holds that she was nivela and she was nanas. Ah, so why is there masayim zuz? Why is there 200 in the ksuba? You know, if we're saying the only reason why we penalize the chote, here's a case where there's no penalty for the chote. No, because it's not fair to her. Not fair to her that because she was nanas, no one's gonna ever marry her. So we upped the ksuba back to Masayim, even though Mikra didn't, she really was considered nansa, she really was considered a napasula anymore. Then the Gemara asks, Visavra la Rabbi Huda b'ktusha sakaima. Does Rabbi Huda really hold that she maintained the status of being kedusha, even though she was held in captive? The Hatana, the Brisa tells us, Hapode es shivuya yisena, the one who redeems a woman from captivity, he's allowed to marry her. If he's married ba lo yisena, if he testifies about her, then she's not allowed to. He's not allowed to marry her. And Rashi explains the havamina here is that if he testified about her that she was not nivela, then he's not allowed to marry her if he was a kohen. But again, a Yisrael is allowed to marry anyone even though she's not a basula. A kohen is not allowed to marry somebody who was an enos. So the Gemara wants to know. Before we go on to clarify, but again, a pode, es a shvuya, yisena. If you redeem a girl, you're allowed to marry her. But if you testify that she wasn't violated, you're not allowed to marry her. Rehuda argues, Omer ben kach lo yisenu. Rehuda says, either way, you cannot marry her, whether you're pode her or whether you marry her. So before the Gemara gets to the question, the Gemara says there's an internal steer here. Hagufakasha. Omer pode, es a shvuya, yisena. First, we said the one who redeems her can marry her. Then we said, made by lo yisena. But if he testifies about her, then he can't marry her. We shouldn't have made by lo yisena. What does that mean? Because he testifies about her, he's not allowed to marry her anymore. Doesn't make any sense. Why would that have any impact in the on marrying her or not? Holokasha. Hachikamar. What the Brisa means to say is as follows. Hapode es ashruya, umeid ba yisena. A man who redeems her and also testifies that she was not violated may marry her. Made by kidei lo yisena. If he simply just testifies but does not redeem her, then he's not allowed to marry her. Right, and Rashi explains the svar for this. The last couple lines of Rashi, hapode es shvuy made by yisena, the guy who redeems her and also testifies, dilav de kimle begave, had he not been so certain that she wasn't violated, lo shadei zuze bekidei, he wouldn't throw the money out to redeem her, sharei lisena pada. The only reason why a guy would pay this ransom is if he really knew that she was mutter to him. If she wasn't mutter to him, he wouldn't go so far and pay the thousands of dollars to get her free. So that's why if he redeemed her and testified about her, we trust his testimony. And if he's a kohen, he's allowed to marry her. But if he simply is meidba, he didn't redeem her. Some other wealthy guy redeemed her. And he said, oh, I saw that she wasn't violated. So maybe Shema ain't of nothing, but maybe he just saw he liked her and wanted to be with her. And he had nothing to lose on his part. He just said, oh, I testified. We won't trust such a person unless he puts himself on the line or really puts in a lot of money, a big investment of redeeming her. We're not going to trust him. Okay. Mikol Malkum, the Gemara says, nevertheless, what comes out of this Braisa, once we've clarified that first point, we're more concerned with Rabbi Huda's opinion. Rabbi Huda said, Mikol Malkum, Kasher Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said that the person who redeems her and also testifies about her is not allowed to marry her. But why? If Rabbi Huda holds in general a Shvuya is B'Ktusha, so remains in her Kedusha status, so why would a guy who redeems her and testifies be any worse in general? We should assume that she's Biktushasa, and anyone's allowed to marry her, even a Kohen. So Rapapa says, you're right, Ema, really the Brisa should read, Rabbi Huda Ema Omer, Ben Kach Umen Kach Yiseenu. In both scenarios, he's allowed to marry her, not Lo Yiseenu, Yiseenu, he may marry her, and that's consistent that Rabbi Huda holds that a Shuya is Biktushasa. Comes along Ravuna Braid of Yeshua Omer, Liolam Kidekasani. Really, we're going to maintain the initial reading Hey, Rabbi Huda holds ben kach lo yisenu. You can't marry her. Ah, but doesn't he hold that b'kedushasa? She remains in b'kedushasa. Rabbi Huda is as follows. L'divrem d'rabbanan karmelahu. He's talking within the world of Rabbanan. According to me, Rabbi Huda says, I myself hold ben kach yisenu. You're allowed to marry her because I hold that a shvuah is b'kedushasa. I'm just saying, according to you, Rabbanan, in your world of that you think a shvuah is not b'kedushasa, she does not maintain her status of being b'kedushasa. According to you guys should say, no one's allowed to marry her because you have to assume that every situation of a shvuah is always going to be nenas. And Rabbanan say, no, you're right, we hold that we normally assume that a shvuah is nensa, but still, hapodes a shvuah, made by yisenu. If a person redeemed her and testified about her, that's the one situation, the one exception where he may marry her, and that's because lo yishada inish zuze bichdi. A person won't just throw out his money for nothing. The only reason why a person invested in ransoming her is because he knew that she was untouched. Ah, but if it's simply made, but if it's only because he testified about her but didn't redeem her, it was nothing on his, he didn't put any investment in here, then made bakadi, just simply testifying alone, lo yisenu, that we don't trust the guy, we don't trust the aid to marry her, because shema inav nasan ba, it's very possible he saw her and thought she was very pretty and wanted to marry her, we won't trust such an aid. Okay, I guess we'll stop here because my chelik ends right here. Okay, fine.